services on this Lord's Day evening. I know it's Labor Day and several folks are out of town, but we're glad that you're here tonight, and we're thrilled to be able to welcome those who are visiting with us. Appreciate Josh for leading the songs that he's led tonight. I told Jody, and I've told the young people as well, that last song we sang, I won't sung at my funeral. I'm not planning that intensively as of yet, and I haven't gone into a lot of detail, but I love those camp songs like that. Those songs are beautiful, and there's a couple, three in particular, that just really always touch my heart, and I appreciate these songs tonight that we've sung. I do want to put before you our theme for next Lord's Day morning. Of course, next Lord's Day is the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Do you remember what you were doing 10 years ago this coming Sunday? I remember very vividly, very distinctly, the day and the things that transpired on that day 10 years ago. And so I'm going to do some remembering and some reflecting on the events and the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of 9/11, some lessons that we need to learn as Christians that I think will benefit us as we reflect on that day. So next Sunday morning, I would encourage you to invite your friends and neighbors to come and be with you if you choose to do so, but plan to be here yourself if at all possible. Tonight, I want to talk about Barnabas. Barnabas is an individual that I really love and respect. He's a man that I believe is one that we need to try to emulate in our lives. And tonight I want us to focus on the idea that Barnabas is a model of Christ, and as a result of that, he is a model for us today. You know, I think this congregation here at Del Rada certainly strives to follow the New Testament model of Christianity. And while there are certainly New Testament churches that are worthy of our modeling, you think about the church at Antioch, I think we need to begin by trying to model the good members of those churches. And I believe Barnabas is a man that we need to really focus our attention on. He's a man that is worthy of our emulation. Now, to our knowledge, Barnabas never wrote an epistle. We don't have any recorded sermon of Barnabas in the New Testament. But if you look at the New Testament, it seems like Barnabas was the heart of the church at Antioch. Barnabas was an individual that was very well thought of. And I think Barnabas is worthy of emulation simply because Barnabas emulated Jesus Christ. Barnabas was an individual that truly did good works. He brought glory and honor to God by the things that he did. As Matthew 5 and verse 16 tells us, he let his light shine. Barnabas was one that was zealous of good works, as we read in Titus 2 and verse 14. He was devoted to good works, as we find in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. And so tonight, I want us to talk about modeling our lives according to Barnabas. Because Barnabas, I believe, modeled his life after Jesus Christ, our perfect example. May I suggest, first of all, tonight, that Barnabas is a model for us today because he encouraged saints that were in need. If you turn over, for example, in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 36, we read about the economic persecution that existed there against the church in particular. Historically, this was brought on by the rabbis. And the Bible says that Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, and this, of course, is translated the son of encouragement. And that literally means a calling or a coming to one's aid. I kind of picture it as, you know, pulling the fire alarm if a fire takes place. The signal goes to the fire station and they come to our aid. Or you call 911 because of some emergency and someone is always ready to come as quickly as possible to your aid. That's what Barnabas was. That's the kind of man he was. He was the son of encouragement, ready in a moment's notice to come to the aid, if you will, of other people. The Bible describes him here in verse 36 as a Levite of the country of Cyprus. The Bible says he had land, sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now I ask you tonight, which do you think came first? The name or the deed? Did Joseph receive the name Barnabas before the deeds that he did or after the deeds? I think Barnabas received that name after the deed. The deed came first. Barnabas was noted for his encouragement by the deeds that he did. And so his encouragement was not just a mere cliche. You know, we turn over to that very practical book on New Testament Christianity in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. And James says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, but you do not give them those things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? What's James saying here? James says here, if there's someone who has a great need and maybe verbalize the idea that you're thinking about them, but you don't do anything to try to alleviate that need, it really doesn't do any good. And then James goes on to say, that's the way faith is, by works. Faith without works is dead. I think about a man one time who went to God in prayer about someone's needs, and his son was hearing that prayer, and after the prayer was over, the young son said to his father, Dad, can I go with you and help you answer that prayer? Now, that's what prayer is all about. It's not just verbalizing things to God, but it's realizing that we have a part in trying to make those prayers come about. Barnabas looked at the needs of other people, and his name means one who comes to the aid of another. And I think his encouraging manner influenced an entire nation of God's people. Over in Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, the Bible says, in these days prophets came from Jerusalem, and we need to keep in mind the miraculous nature of things back in the first century church at this time. In these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You see, Barnabas was an individual that was always available for the encouragement of Christians in need. Barnabas was the kind of individual that would visit a hospital or a nursing home. He was the kind of individual that would think nothing at all of calling on a widow or going to some sick person's house to try to uplift their spirits in some way. But you see, Barnabas was simply modeling Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, and then down in verses 18 through 26, if we had time to read these passages in detail, we would find that Jesus Christ was one that had compassion on other people. He went about trying to alleviate their physical needs. He healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases. Barnabas was a model of Christ. He's a model for us because he was one that was willing to encourage saints in need. Let me suggest, though, in the next place, though, that Barnabas also is a model for us because he encouraged saints who had a dark past. Look at Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 26. Very interesting passage there. I think a passage sometimes we take for granted. The Bible says, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, of course, we know that Saul had been a great persecutor of the church. He was one that those in the church greatly feared. They wanted to avoid him at all costs. He was perhaps the greatest persecutor of the church of the first century. And we know how on the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him, told him to go in Damascus, and he would be told what to do to be saved. And we know the story about Ananias coming to him and telling him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And Paul became a Christian there in that city when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now the Bible says Saul had come to Jerusalem and he tried to join the disciples. But notice here, the Bible says they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Wouldn't that hurt your feelings a little bit? It would hurt mine to be rejected by my own brethren in Christ. They don't trust me. They think I'm some sort of spy. I'm just trying to infiltrate the church to try to persecute them even more. I would be hurt by this. But the Bible says Barnabas took him and brought him, that is Paul, to the apostles, and he declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Paul was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. Now folks, Saul had a very dark past. We might say he had a frightening history. You talk about somebody that had a lot of skeletons in the closet. I think these first century Christians were right to a great degree to fear him. They were right, perhaps, to be suspicious of him. And don't you know that Barnabas here was the only one that had faith in Paul? And by doing this, I believe Barnabas opened himself up to a lot of criticism there in the church. And sometimes I wonder how many Sauls have been lost because there was no one available to encourage a saint with a dark past. But think about how Barnabas viewed Saul. When Barnabas looked at Saul, that one time great persecutor of the church, Barnabas no longer saw one who desired to destroy the church. Now Barnabas saw Saul not as a man with a dark past, but he saw Saul as a new creature in Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. He saw Saul, who was one that had been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5. But you know, Barnabas was simply modeling Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not allow the past of an individual to keep them from serving him. I wish we had time to read some of these passages, like Luke 7, verses 36 through 50, where the Bible talks about that woman, the sinful woman, as she is described, who anointed the feet of Jesus with precious ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Of course, Jesus, having the power to forgive sins on the earth, forgave her. Of course, he compelled her to go and sin no longer, but Jesus was criticized for having faith in someone with a dark past. But you see, Barnabas is a model for us because he was a model of Jesus Christ. And then let me suggest to you as well that Barnabas is a model for us today because he encouraged churches active in preaching the gospel. Over in Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, the Bible says those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now here we need to see that the church here was growing geographically. It was growing culturally. I think Antioch perhaps was the first integrated church. And I think that's a lesson we need to learn as well. Barnabas did not view other people by their outward appearance. He did not see other people by the color of their skin. He looked at other people as being creations of God, people that deserve salvation, people that deserve to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Barnabas did not look at people in those kinds of ways. And notice here how Barnabas reacted. If you look at verse 22, then news of these things came to the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas. There he is. He's going on a mission again to go as far as Antioch. And when Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. I think we can also see from these verses that to obey the gospel is to be added to the Lord. To be faithful is to continue with the Lord. And I think the encouragement here that Barnabas gave spawned the tremendous growth in the church. You see, Barnabas was available for the encouragement of churches like Antioch that had a scriptural vision of the Lord's work. It made him glad to see that the grace of God is not limited just to one people. And yet we need to realize that Barnabas is simply modeling the life of Jesus. Just like the church at Philadelphia that was commended in many respects by Jesus Christ. Barnabas was a model of Christ, a model for us, because he encouraged churches that were active in preaching the good news of salvation. Now, let me also suggest tonight that I believe Barnabas is a model for us today because Barnabas encouraged co-workers to join him. Over in Acts chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now we're not told why Barnabas did this. We're not told why he went to seek for Saul. We're only told that he did. Barnabas perhaps was exhausted from his labor with the church, and he knew that Saul would be the best qualified individual to help him in this endeavor. And we know that Saul certainly had plenty of experience already. We know from Acts 9, beginning in verse 20, that Paul had preached Jesus in the synagogue. In verses 28 and 29, we know that he preached boldly in the name of the Lord. Barnabas was a man that knew, I believe, what the Lord had told Ananias over in Acts 9 and verse 15. Barnabas knew that Paul was one that was a chosen vessel to bear the name of God before the Gentiles. Now, folks, the Lord's work today is not done. It's not accomplished by some specialized, highly trained group of specialists. The Lord's work today is done by common, ordinary Christians. It's done by co-workers, people pooling their talents together to work for the Lord. Barnabas was available for the encouragement of co-workers in the Lord's kingdom. He realized that we are all on the same team. It doesn't matter who gets the glory and the honor. He wasn't too proud to ask for help, but Barnabas had enough vision to see the potential for the gospel to reach other people if he could get the right help. And of course, we know that Barnabas was simply modeling Jesus. Like Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus spoke those famous words, "You follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus left the future mission of God in the hands of 12 men when he ascended back to his Father. Let me suggest tonight as we close that I believe Barnabas is also a model of Christ and a model for us, because Barnabas was always there to encourage saints who needed second chances. The story of Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36, I believe is very compelling. The Bible says, "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing.'" Now, we call that follow-up, don't we? We're going to follow up on what we've done and where we've preached. The Bible says here, "Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work," talking about John Mark. And the Bible says the contention became so sharp that they parted company from one another, and Barnabas took Mark, just like he determined to do, sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. You know, even Paul, as influential as he now had become, even Paul did not have enough influence to keep Barnabas from giving John Mark the encouragement that he needed. Now, apparently, John Mark had turned back from the work. I don't know what reason there was, but apparently it wasn't a good reason, especially in the eyes of Paul. But for some reason, John Mark turned back. He did not complete the work. And yet, Barnabas was willing to give John Mark a needed second chance. That's something that we need to have in our lives. We need to be willing to give other people a second chance. I think about Michelangelo one time, who was standing before a large block of marble, and this block of marble had been discarded because of a large crack. Michelangelo had his chisel in hand, and he was chipping away at the stone, and a man walked up and asked him, "What are you doing?" And Michelangelo said, "I'm releasing the angel imprisoned in this block of stone." I believe that attitude describes Barnabas. He saw through the flaws of individuals, and he saw the great potential that they had for the kingdom of God. And I think if you look, Barnabas was certainly vindicated for his wise perception of John Mark. Because we turn over to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Paul said, bring Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark was now useful to Paul. And where do you think that Mark learned to be useful? He learned it from Barnabas. Barnabas was available for the encouragement of those people that needed a second chance. But you see, Barnabas was doing nothing else but modeling Jesus Christ. We took the time tonight to read John chapters 20 and 21. We could read about many of his disciples that forsook the Lord. You think about Peter, who three different times denied he even knew the Son of God. Don't you know how that broke Peter's heart when the Lord turned and looked upon Peter? A look of discouragement, a look of disappointment. Here were men that forsook the Lord. They fled from the Lord when he needed them the most. And yet the Lord was always willing to give people a second chance if they were willing to make their lives right. And there was Peter on the day of Pentecost, who just 50 days before denied the Son of God, and now he's delivering that first gospel sermon. Barnabas is a model of Jesus Christ, and he's a model for us today. You know, the good work that Barnabas did in his life in Christ, I think, began with the perfect life of Jesus Christ. Because Barnabas was simply modeling Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Maybe you ought to stop and think tonight about what we might not have if Barnabas had not come along. If Barnabas had not come along when he did, perhaps we would not have the epistles of Paul. If Barnabas had not come along when he did, we might not have the gospel according to Mark. And yet we're thankful for Barnabas. Barnabas had a heart that truly loved people. He loved the souls of individuals. He always saw the potential in a person or in a church, and he was always there to give a boost of morale. I think we need to consider the ways today that we can encourage other people. All of us tonight can certainly learn to be like Barnabas, who modeled Jesus Christ. I think there's an angel inside of each of us waiting to be released, to use the analogy. There is potential in each of us to do good, to encourage other people, to uplift those who need an encouraging word spoken. You know, if we could just take a simple word of encouragement to somebody, and maybe that's a challenge for us this week. I want you to take this to heart, whether you're a young person going back to school on Tuesday, or maybe it's a coworker whom you work with. No matter what you're doing, I want you this week to take a simple word of encouragement and then back that up with an unexpected act of generosity. Or maybe back that up by acknowledging a small deed or a kind deed that's well done. And when we do that, I think we're close to releasing that angel that's within. You know, the famous painter Benjamin West tells the story of when he was a small boy. One day he wanted to try to draw a picture of his sister. He took out all the jars of ink, and this little boy made a huge mess. And when his mother came home and saw the mess, rather than scolding him and getting all over him, she simply picked up the painting and she said, "What a beautiful picture of your sister."
and his mother kissed him on the cheek. And Benjamin West said, "With that kiss, I became a painter." But then tonight, we need to realize if we have been the beneficiary of a Barnabas in our lives, we need to learn to thank God for that. And we need to learn to be a Barnabas ourselves. And if we can learn to be a Barnabas ourselves, modeling Jesus Christ in our lives, others will see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Tonight we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Maybe you've allowed things to get the best of you. Maybe you've been somewhat negative in your approach to life. Maybe you've allowed things to come between you and God, and there may be some corrections you need to make tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian tonight. Tonight may be the time you need to come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like Paul did long ago. Believe in Jesus with all of your heart that he's the Son of God. In that faith, change your life as you repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus that he is the Son of God. And then tonight you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Tonight the